Well, it was about 6 p.m. Worship was over. Sending hymn had just finished a few minutes prior. Most of the people had already left the sanctuary. There were just a few left. I was in the sound booth putting away my microphone. A man comes up to me that I've never met before. "Hello," he says. "My name is Larry. I'm visiting your church. It was a very nice service." And then he proceeds to ask me if he can pray for me. "Sure," I say. Now, I have to admit, my initial reaction was, this is kind of weird, especially for a Lutheran. A little bit awkward. Never been prayed for by a stranger. But as he proceeded to lay his hand upon my head and pray for me, I felt the Holy Spirit working through this man and his words. All of a sudden, it wasn't awkward anymore. In fact, it was pretty cool. I started to feel very grateful because I really needed this prayer. Now, maybe this has happened to you as well, but if so, you're probably one of only a few of us who has had this rare experience. Yet I bet almost every one of you here today has had the experience of being told or receiving a card that says something like, "I will pray for you." Has everybody pretty much had that experience? Someone saying, "I'm going to keep you in my thoughts and prayers during this time in your life." This is a much more common experience, especially for us Lutherans. But the thing is, we don't always get to hear the content of those prayers that those people say that they are going to pray for us, do we? Today, however, we get to hear the content of the prayer that Jesus prayed for his disciples, a prayer we claim as his prayer also for us. Today, we pause for a moment to hear this very special prayer that Jesus prays to the Father. And it starts out with Jesus declaring to the Father that his work is complete, and he requests to return to his place alongside his Father. He explains that he has made his Father's name known to the disciples. He has given them the knowledge of the truth, and they have received that knowledge, and they now believe in the one true God. Towards the end of the prayer, he prays for their protection. He says, "Holy Father, protect them in your name that you have given me, so that they may be one as we are one." This is the content of Jesus' prayer to the Father on behalf of the disciples, on behalf of us. And I'd like to focus specifically on the last part, when Jesus says, "Holy Father, protect them in your name that you have given me, so that they may be one as we are one." In this passage, Jesus once again reminds us that he and the Father are one. It's a concept that we're very familiar with, yet I think we all could agree that it's kind of difficult for us to really get this idea of the Trinity, the three in one, the Father, the Son, the Holy Spirit. I can't even tell you how many times I have been approached by a kid with this question. So, Pastor Sherry, if Jesus is God's Son, how can Jesus also be God? Well, Johnny, so there's this thing called the hypostatic union, and it's used to describe how God the Son, Jesus Christ, took on a human nature, yet remained fully God at the same time, and how Jesus' two natures, human and divine, are inseparable. Well, it's a difficult thing to understand myself, let alone communicate to kids. But maybe it's not so important to ask the question of how this came to be, but rather the question of what. What are Jesus and God? The answer is they are one. They are together. They are unified. And Jesus is praying that we might be the same, that we might be one, that we might be together, that we might be unified. This is very important to Jesus. I'd like to share a story of how being unified can make a huge difference in our lives and our ministry as disciples of Christ. Once upon a time, at a Midwestern fair, many spectators gathered for an old-fashioned horse pull. Well, it's an event where various weights are put on a sled hitched to a horse and pulled along the ground. The grand champion horse pulled a sled with 4,500 pounds on it. The runner-up was close, with a 4,400-pound pull. Some of the folks wondered what they could pull if they were hitched together. Well, separately, they had totaled nearly 9,000 pounds. But when hitched and working together as a team, the winning horses were able to pull more than 12,000 pounds. Almost three times what either of them could pull alone. Imagine the powerful force we could exert as a congregation, as a denomination, and as the church in the world if we were all pulled together as a team. You see, we can't accomplish much as much if we're going on in 10 different directions, but we can accomplish a lot if we work as one, linked together, unified in Christ. It's an exciting thing. But what could it look like in our faith community? I had an opportunity just this last week to meet with the youth pastor at Pinnacle Presbyterian Church. Our meeting went for 3 hours. Can you imagine 3 hours? It probably could have lasted longer if we both didn't have other commitments to attend to. But the reason why we talked for so long is because our denominations, our missions, our ministries, and the community we serve has so much in common. So much in common. I'd like to invite you to imagine, what if we worked together to serve our community and our world? What if we lived into the reality of Jesus' prayer, that we might be one, that we might be together, that we might be unified? Just imagine what this might look like. Of course, this is just one example of how we can join together with others to accomplish awesome things in the name of Jesus Christ. There are so many other ways, of course, and being part of the ELCA, the Evangelical Lutheran Church in America, is a wonderful way to join together for the sake of the gospel and to serve others in need all over the world in the name of Christ. We make a big impact together, and it's a beautiful thing. But unity isn't always easy, and I think we all know that. But when it gets difficult, we must remember that it's very important to Jesus. For he not only prayed for it in that prayer that we read today, he also modeled it for us. Do you remember that story when the disciples came to him complaining about the people who were preaching and doing signs and wonders in Jesus' name, but weren't part of their crowd of disciples? Well, they were ready to run them out of town or call down lightning upon their heads for doing such a thing. But Jesus told the disciples not to stop them and said, "A good tree cannot bear bad fruit." Christian unity is not determined by whether we agree with each other about every interpretation of Scripture or doctrine or form of church government. However, Christian unity is determined by whether we love one another and whether we reflect the love of God in Christ for the world. There will be always that which separates Christians from Christians and denomination from denomination. But we can still affirm and celebrate God's love for us all and our love for one another. In the ways of love, the ways of mutual respect, understanding, and acceptance, we can be one in Christ. And when we do, Jesus' prayer will be answered. Amen.